undefeated, no-holds-barred news source of the world. Now, from Vancouver, British Columbia, here is your host, Kelsey Mowat.
Welcome back to Full Contact Fighter Radio. I'm your host, Kelsey Mowat, joining you from Vancouver, British Columbia. And now going over to my co-host in Edmonton is Mr. Brendan Lear, back from Toronto, the center of the universe, as many Canadians would like to would say.
Am I your co-host, Kelsey? I thought I was like the radio guest who never leaves. I'm just around so you can find some way to evict me.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like right there in the middle, you know, like you've almost worked your way up to co-host status, but we could still pull the plug on you, like, because, yeah, you're not, like, officially, you're not on any of the bumper.
I always feel like I'm on the razor's edge, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said before, I've taunted you with the fact that it only mentions my name on the beginning of the show.
Exactly.
Yeah. And exactly. Even all the bumper intros, as always. You're listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio with Kelsey Mowat.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's great.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're sitting in these shoes, buddy, someday if you work hard enough. obviously, we've got another big show coming up today. We're talking to Mr. Boss Rudin El Guapo, and he's been doing a lot of interviews, etc., as he's coming out of retirement for his fight next weekend. So it's understandable that. You know, there's a lot of hype about that, and we're thrilled that he came on and did our show. And then as well, we're talking to Stefan Patry, TKO president and manager of many UFC fighters now, and he'll be on the show too, so it's a packed show.
Yet again, another packed show. How do we do it?
Yeah, I wonder that myself sometimes. It just seems like, you know, week after week, episode after episode.
I don't know, Kelsey. I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, with the WFA coming up, Brendan, did you get a chance? I finally got to see the WFA promo bit, sort of like the countdown sort of show. I finally got to see it, and did you get to see it?
Well, apparently they've been showing it a lot on Showtime, which we don't get here in the Great White North, so I haven't had an opportunity to see it just because I've been too lazy to seek it out. I'm interested though, how much fight footage do they have, and who gave them permission to show their fights?
Yeah, they had the footage. They've obviously bought the rights to the earlier footage of WFA fights, so they had some of that, and then they had some, I think, some King of the Cage on the credits. They credited a couple other organizations for some footage. I believe King of the Cage, especially with Quentin Jackson, they had some of King of the Cage's Quentin Jackson fights. But yeah, clearly there's no Pride. I don't recall any Pride footage or UFC footage. But, you know, my hat's off to them because it was a really, really cool promo. It really was. It kind of had more of a boxing sort of feel to it. You know, those promos that those half-hour shows that they do for some of the bigger boxing fights. And it was more from, like, a background perspective. They followed Quentin Jackson and Matt Lilland around and Boss Rudin and Chemo and sort of went to where they trained, where they'd been training for this fight and went into their background a bit. And it was more about the fighter and not so much about, you know, showing a bunch of footage and highlight reel stuff. And it was good. I mean, and Loretta Hunt from our own Full Contact Fighter, she did a good job. She was on there giving her thoughts. And then Josh Gross from Sure Dog was on there giving his thoughts, his analysis of the fights. And yeah, it was interesting. It was well worth the half hour. And I think it'll do a lot to getting people to buy the pay-per-view.
So does Loretta Hunt actually have a glass eye? There seems to be some kind of conjecture in recently that she does have a glass eye, and I wanted to actually check her out.
Yeah, no, that what Brennan's referring to is someone on a forum, MMA forum, someone had, there was a post and a picture of Loretta Hunt. I can't remember if she was with a fighter or what, and someone had posted a picture, and there was kind of like a glare out of her eye, and these people started wondering if she had a glass eye, and she responded to the thread, and apparently her blood vessel had broken in her eye on the flight, and she'd just gotten off the flight, and that was part of the reason she had guessed for the photo turning out that way. But yes, she does not have a glass eye.
And she doesn't wear a patch or anything?
No.
That'd be kind of cool, though.
That would be like the
what's the boxing guy where wears the, you know, the greasy old hat? That would be kind of like her thing.
Yeah, yeah, this has got to be the worst intro I think we've done so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I agree. Think about it, Kels.
Yeah.
If no one could see it, if you wore a patch on the radio, you know, people couldn't see it. Maybe you should develop some kind of signature speech impediment.
Yeah, I'll work on that. See if
apart from our Canadian accents. Eh?
Yes, which probably throws many off.
Let's get on to our pack show, eh?
Yeah. On that note, I'm going to go cook up some bacon, some Canadian back bacon, and crack a beer. And you're listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio.
Okay, to stubby for me, eh?
By now, you've probably seen dozens of your favorite MMA fighters wearing Full Contact Fighter clothing. But hey, listen, you don't have to be a champion to dress like one. With the FCF shop, we have all that you require for your fightwear needs. From NHB corduroy hats, tricot jackets, to camo board shorts, or the NHB Extreme Fight shorts, our famous hoodies, to the classic Full Contact Fighter t-shirts, all your MMA clothing can be found at www.fcfighter.com. Pick up the latest edition of the FCF paper, or you can also reach FCF to place an order by calling 516-676-0033. Also now open is a Full Contact Fighter sticker and banner shop, plus a full assortment of all your favorite official IFL team clothing is now available at fcfighter.com, or call us. Again, that number is 516-676-0033. Full Contact Fighter, the undefeated, no-holds-barred new source of the world.
Mixed martial arts legends collide at the Midwestern debut of the International Fight League, Saturday, September 23rd at the Mark of the Quad Cities in Moline, Illinois. See the wildest International Fight League team competition yet as the Quad City Silverbacks defend their home turf against the New York Pitbulls. And be there to witness the return of hometown hero Pat Militich as he squares off in a fight to the finish against jiu-jitsu master Henzo Gracie. 11 total fights, including Quad City taking on New York and the Columbus Razor Club, led by Mark Coleman, battling the Toronto Dragons, coached by Carlos Newton. Plus, the historic supermatch of Militich versus Gracie. It all happens Saturday, September 23rd at the Mark of the Quad Cities in Moline, Illinois. Tickets start at $28.50 and are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Or charge by phone at 563-326-1111. That's 563-326-1111. The International Fight League. Pure sport. For more information, go to IFL.tv.
Hey everybody, you are listening to the world's most handsome fighter on the planet. Yes, this is El Wapo, and you are listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio with Kelsey Mullen.
All right, welcome back to Full Contact Fighter Radio, and it is our privilege right now to bring Mr. Boss Rutan on the show. Boss, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, very good.
You know, Boss, I got to tell you, the first time, and of course you wouldn't remember this, this is many a moon ago, and many a thousands of people of hands you've shook and shaken since then, but I had the privilege of meeting you once at a bar I worked at in Vancouver, and it might have been like 1999 or 2000, and I distinctly remember the Kochek girls wondering why all the door guys were running around frantically with big smiles and talking about this man named Boss.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun there, man, in Vancouver. I was talking this morning about it. We put a party on one time on the roof, on a penthouse. My friend had a penthouse there. Mm-hmm. And it was such a party. We kept going after 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and the police came at the door, but we had a private elevator, so we told the security not to let it up. And the next day we got a call from the mayor, and he told us that if we ever would try to pull stuff like that, they wouldn't even allow it in Vancouver, but he would make sure whole Canada. Good memories.
Yes, you know, there's quite a few famous stories about Vancouver. You know, there's general managers of National Hockey League teams I've heard on sports radio going on about how they dread if their boys have to spend more than two nights. There's nothing worse than some guys running around Vancouver with money to spend.
Yeah.
So Boss,
nice flip-flops too, by the way. Boss, this is Brendan. It's that leads me to my first question for you. And the last time you fought was 1999, and just being a new father myself, a recent father, having a young child, what's it like for you training now for a fight when obviously your life is so much different? Before you were a professional fighter and had a lot of time dedicated to being able to train as much as you wanted. Now you're a businessman, an entrepreneur, a commentator, a writer, a parent, and of course an international man of intrigue and mystery. How is it different training and preparing for a fight now?
Well, it's exactly like you said, all these things I do. So that was the problem. I took this fight like without knowing that I was going to take it. So everything that I planned, I don't like to cancel things. If I say yes to something, I really try to do my best to make it a yes. So I booked like four or five seminars, and I all had to still do them. Actually, I'm in Paul Frings right now for a seminar to teach here because I gave him my word that I was going to do it, you know. He didn't know that I was going to take the fight. So it's difficult to train with the lifestyle that I got now. I had to thank God my wife helps me a lot, so she does the website. She does a lot of around me, so I have a little bit more time, but still, the phone doesn't stop. I mean, I have actually a message now. I said, don't leave a message, because I'm not going to listen to it anymore. It's that crazy. I mean, I get 40 phone calls a day. It's out of control. And that's the most hardest thing that I experience now with this preparation of this fight.
Now, when you have time to train, tell us a little bit about who you've been training with and where your training camp's been at, and how is training coming along?
Training is coming along well. This time I trained totally different than I used to do. When at Bankers and UFC, the fights were longer, way longer. Now it's 3 rounds of 5 minutes, so I made a little change in the how I prepare myself for the round system. I had some injuries coming back, but they went away again, you know, but I had to a couple of times, and it take like 4 or 5 days off, you know, just to heal up again and then go. But I can tell you the truth, man, I feel pretty good. I feel strong. I feel, yeah, everything is, I'm a little bit more smarter, so to say. You know, normally I would just go full power every training, would be a fight for me, but this time it's, I take a little bit more, I pay a little bit more attention to my body.
Yeah.
Crosby, do you look forward to now being able to demonstrate your capabilities in front of this, basically what is an entirely new audience for you in terms of MMA fans? You know, you have this, established this reputation, and we're probably considered to be the sort of innovator of modern MMA, being a great stand-up fighter and all, but also paying close attention to the ground and really integrating both those games. You and I guess Frank Shamrock would be the other one, but I guess your beatdowns over Shamrock would give you maybe even a step up on him. Now, do you look forward to this time to shine, to get to see these new fans, and to allow them to appreciate you as a fighter rather than as a commentator or this sort of guy that everyone talks about, but no one has really seen fight?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I never, of course, I think about fans and the crowd and everything, but for me, it's always, you know, I got to do it my way. I think more about me. All the pressure is on me. Everybody apparently thinks that I'm going to walk over Chemo. But, you know, Chemo's a strong dude, man. If he gets me to the ground, you know, and he pushes me up against the fence, because that's probably going to be his game plan, which I, of course, have counterattack for. But that could be trouble, you know. He might cut me. It's a big guy on top. But if I end up on top, you know, you don't know what I'm going to do. People think I'm not a wrestler, I don't do anything, maybe I'm going to take his ass down, you know. It could be also. I think I'm going to decide that, what I'm going to do there. But I always look, especially now because all the pressure is on, I look more at myself. I try to blot the audience out. I have people coming from Japan come to watch me talking about pressure, you know, and all my friends, and everybody's going to sit there ringside, and I gotta focus those out, everybody out of my head, and just fight for myself, because once I start thinking about other people, that's when you start making mistakes. But I'm good in zoning out, so to say, that I can tune in on what he says, and my corner says, his corner says, I listen to all these things, and then hopefully I can fade the fans and everything out for that moment, and then we'll see what happens.
Now, you mentioned that, you know, that you weren't really sure that you were going to take this fight, and you've been talking about coming back and fighting professionally again for a couple of years now. So just go through a little bit for us the process on why now and how this fight came about with the WFA.
Well, the story is, that's the story, that we went to the photo shoot for the WFA. I was actually going to be the color commentator for the show. And Chemo was there, and we started talking about our fights, and of course the Kosaka fight came, and we're talking about he lost that fight, and I won the fight by knockout, so I don't think that you like that or something. I don't know, because he started stating that I lost the fight against Kevin Randleman, and I thought that was strange, so because Kevin Randleman even said that he thought I won that fight. I said, so if he thinks it, then what's going on? But he said it in such a demeanor way that I, you know, it kind of sparked my interest again. And Yeah, I asked, just, I said, who's the opponent for Kimo? They said, we don't have an opponent. I said, okay, why don't I fight him?
Yeah.
So, and then he thinks that I specifically asked for him, that I, you know, come out of retirement and asked for him, and that's why he's upset. So I think, you know, I let him in that whole thing, and hopefully he's going to be really angry, and that's good for me, you know. I kind of count on that. I like aggressive people coming at me full power and, yeah, do what I do.
Boss, when do you think you made that turning point in your life? You know, even when people ask you for advice, and I watch some of your videos, and you talk to fighters and advise them, a lot of your advice really has to do more with the mental game. And it seems like you've really focused and thought about how in your mind fights progress and how you mentally prepare for fights. And I think that especially young fighters rely on athleticism and sort of natural instinct, but it's easy to people always talk about, quote-unquote, getting in the head of another fighter. So how much do you rely on that mental game now?
Especially because I'm older, I rely on it more, you know? So I think fighting it's all mental. A lot of people say it's 70%, 75%. I would say 85%, almost 90% is mental. I mean, if the mind doesn't want anymore, if you can take hits and you say, okay, I don't want to fight anymore, you're gone. So you need a very strong mind for fighting. And with that, you need a lot of stamina. That's what I always say, because, you know, once fatigue kicks in, all your balls are going to shrink. It's over and out, because especially if your opponent keeps pressing the fight. The stamina and a strong head, I think that's the most important thing. So mental games, yeah, they're totally up. They're doing actually a documentary about this. They started filming like 3 weeks ago with me, and we're going to probably sell it to a TV station. We have big stations already are interested for it, and then it's going to be on TV so everybody can see it for free. It's going to be fun, and then you really can see what I did for this fight. There's a few funny things you'll see.
Now, with your involvement, I mean, you're involved now, obviously, with the WFA, and you're a coach in the IFL, and now we're starting to see that the growth of Icon Sports has had some pretty big cards in Hawaii, and we're starting to see the growth of mixed martial arts in the promoting sense outside of the UFC as well, which has always been top dog. For someone who's been involved in Pride and in UFC and now some of these newer organizations, do you have thoughts on that? I mean, do you think that this competition is good for MMA on the whole?
You mean the WFA?
No, just the WFA, IFL, you know, all these new organizations that are coming up and pushing the UFC a bit?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, let's face it, UFC did a lot of good for the sport, man. I mean, the Ultimate Fighter, all the promotion, I mean, they did great, but they have to understand that sooner or later, like in boxing, there are other organizations going to come, like the Pride Fighting Championships in Japan, but of course also in America. And it's inevitable. It's going to be good for the fighters. It's going to be really good for the UFC too, you know, because you're going to get more quality fighters. And now it's going to be a competition going on. More people are going to be interested. And this means more people tune in to watch it. It's going to be good for everybody. And the IFL, the WFA, they are totally different. The concept's totally different. You know, the IFL and the WFA, they actually work together. They like each other. You know, the IFL is really open-minded, and so is the WFA. And IFL being in the ring and the team competition is totally different. The round system is different. I mean, that concept by itself, I think it's a great concept. I mean, the whole team spirit. I see my fighters getting better, just growing in it, because just they're a part of a team. And the WFA is doing a great job because, I mean, look at the promotion they do. We have the countdown show on Showtime every day now. We are on the radio, on K-Rock, we're doing interviews. We got ESPN, Jimmy Kimmel. We got, I mean, I got a Mexican TV coming over next week. I mean, it's out of control. I guess El Guapo sparked them today. And I think they're doing a great job. I mean, the promos, they filmed 8 hours, you know, to make that countdown show. And they did it also on Kimmel, on Matt Lizard, on Quentin Jackson. You know, it's 4 days of shooting. And then all the other fighters, they have quotes from them. I mean, that's 5 days of shooting with a camera and walking around everywhere, and then they cut a promo out of that. So I think they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
What about a bit of insight? How does a Dutch fighter who fights in America and Japan end up with the nickname of El Guapo?
You know,
did you also spend some time in Lucha Libre?
Man, I don't know why I have this connection with Mexico. I love Mexico. When I came to the States, I mean, I think the first 2 years I had only Mexican. My radio only I had it on Mexican channel. That's here we go. So I love the Mexican music. It's happy. It's you know, and it's sunny. And I'm in here in L.A., California. Sun is here and. We got all the all that music I like. That's why the El Guapo song that I made, you know, I'm going to come up with the El Guapo song. You guys going to laugh. Go to MySpace and go to the Bossroot. There are a few Bossroots, but you will see one with a picture of me holding a paper, and it says, this is the real Bossroot, the MySpace website.
Nice.
And I have the El Guapo song on there. Go and download it. It's also, you can find it on my Bossroot.tv page. And download it so you know the lyrics, and then you can shout it with me once I come up.
You need to.
Well, maybe you can be accompanied by a mariachi band during your entrance.
Listen, that would be great if I could do that. I actually proposed to my wife that I let a mariachi band coming in a sushi place.
You need to go to the rooms.
Oh, anyway, by the way, yeah, the name El Guapo comes from the movie The Three Amigos. Yes, because I always was the self-proclaimed most handsome fighter in the world. And then when I was talking to Tina Shamrock, actually, in Japan, the ex-wife of Ken, we were talking about it. She's Mexican. So I said, what does it mean, El Guapo? She says, it means handsome. And all the fighters are sitting there. We're having breakfast. And they heard it. They overheard us talking. So the next day, when I came to breakfast, everybody went, hey, El Guapo! And that's how it got born.
Yes, the rest is history. Now, if we can rely a little bit on and ask you for your comments on some of the fights coming up WFA, obviously, you know, you've got years of commentating experience, and, you know, we'd like to hear some of your insights. How do you see some of these fights unfolding? I mean, if you look at the main event, Matt Lindland versus Quinton Jackson, give us your opinion on that fight, and who do you think's got the edge in that bout?
You know, it's... it's what Matt Lindland says. It's going to be technique, in the wrestling... against brutal strength, and I think Quinton has the better hands. Matt has, I don't know if Quinton can actually take Matt down. If he can take him down, it could be trouble for Matt, but Matt, you know, he's a little Wolverine too, you know. The last time when I saw him fight, I was in Ohio. I mean, he was terminating his opponent. I mean, he took him down, and it was a barrage of punches. And, I mean, he likes to hurt people. That's what he likes, so it's going to be a very interesting fight. The weight class difference, because Matt probably will be under 200 pounds and Quinton is heavier. It's all about if Matt can take Quinton down. If Matt can take Quinton down, he ends up on top and he can throw his whole barrage, it could be going in the favor of Matt. But, you know, if Matt cannot take him down, like with Kevin Randleman, he could not take Quinton down. Now, Quinton has got a little bit sharper hands. He fought in the K-1 also. You know, his hands are pretty good. And then again, what everybody says the same thing is, who's going to show up? Which Quinton is going to show up?
Yeah.
You know, but I think in this particular fight, because it's a new organization, it sparks a lot of new things. I think every fighter, they want to make a mark because, yeah, it's a new organization. And let's see if you can let the world look at it.
Yeah, of course.
Boss, I have one more question for you, and that is a question and a comment. I think we've seen a lot of fighters basically coming out of retirement or now fighting again after a long time. And we saw Hoyce Gracie this year, and we saw Frank Shamrock this year. And in a sense, how much did you personally believe? I think it's a very brave thing to do because you have that enigmatic character, you have that charisma, but you also have that reputation and an extraordinary series of wins at the end of your career. How much did you believe you had to lose, and what kind of personal risk do you think is it for you to take? Is it a risk to your ego? Is it a risk to your reputation? And how did you calculate that? You know, the next big one, the next big rumor is of course, and I hate to even mention the name, but Hickson Gracie. You know, so what does it take for someone like with a reputation like that to come out of retirement?
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure, of course. But you know, I'm looking at it myself. I don't think that he can outclass me. I really don't believe that. If that's going to happen, then good for him, you know. And I'm a sore loser. But if somebody overclass me, then I'm okay with it. He's just a better guy. But it's just a lot of pressure. But I can handle pressure. I've been in crazy situations before. If he would, yeah. The only thing is, if he really would outclass me, that's a loss for me. But if he would come in and I got a cut or something, because I cut easy and everybody knows that, so that's probably what he's going to work for. But again, you know, I know that he's going to go for that. So there's going to be a few surprises in that also. Then, you know, that in my book, that's not a loss. Mm. You know, and total domination, I totally don't see that happening. And so we just got to take the fight and see what happens. But yeah, you're right, there's a lot of pressure on, because yeah, I haven't lost in the last 22 fights. But this is just a test for me personally. I always say, I fight for me the first. And what the fans really think about that, you know, if I lose, I lose, you know. It's of course, I don't want to lose, and that will give me that extra little fire, but, you know, it might happen. It's going to be difficult to do, but it might happen.
Boss, my final question for you. Where do you see this going? I mean, obviously, you don't want to look past chemo, and you don't want to look past this fight, but do you have any, you know, insight into where you might be after this fight, and are we going to see Boss Rutten return to more professional fights? And also, if you could tell us a little bit about your project with Randy Couture. I understand you're opening a gym with Randy in LA, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I take it from here. I'm going to see how I'm going to come out of this fight, and that, meaning that is my injuries, and not the injuries that I got into the fight, because those injuries are most of the time minimum. They're like maybe a cut or something, whatever. So I'm not looking at that, but I'm just looking out of my body, how my body feels, how I'm going to react to the crowd, how I'm going to feel. If I feel right away, okay, everything is good again, and my everything, my knees and elbows and everything is still feels good, then yeah, of course I don't care to fight again, because to tell you the truth, man, I'm in a pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. So I feel good. I think people aren't going to be pretty surprised. I think I transformed. Also, I didn't train for three and a half years, you got to understand. So I started training about, 2.5 months ago. And it was difficult in the beginning, but right now, I made dramatic changes, man. I'm feeling pretty good. So let's see what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
And then, if I can continue or not. What was the second question?
What's going on with Randy Couture and
Randy Couture, the gym.
Yeah,
that's, you know, there's a lot of things happening. I had in Westlake, I just opened a gym. That's where I live, and that thing is going really good. It's doing really good, and now I think this week, I think actually today, K Rock is going to be in. Oh, that was yesterday. K Rock, the radio station, was going to transmit live from our new gym, and that one is on La Brea. Between Sunset and Hollywood. I mean, it's right in Hollywood. It's the best location. You're going to freak out if you see it. It's a real nice gym. We got a cage. We got a ring. There's going to be an outside cage, believe it or not. So I believe that that's going to be the a point in the city where the most accidents are going to happen, because it's very busy there and all the cars are passing. And then if you see people fighting in a cage, I think that's going to be a circus. We're looking forward to it, man. Together with Randy, I think we're a very good team together. We got Jason Mayer Miller, Eddie Bravo, we got Carol Parisian, we got Rob Kamen, we got Brandon Vera, Chris Riley. I mean, it doesn't stop. Everybody's teaching there. So the talent that's there, and then, of course, the fighters also. Eddie Bravo brings his students, and he's got some good students also. You know, I trained with a few guys, actually, also, like 240 pounds. Guys like black belts, just to escape certain situations. So I think it's going to be one of the best gyms. I truly believe that, because the level of instructors is just really high.
I guess, but just one last one before we let you go. Are you going to be doing up here? And you know, Brendan and I are both in Canada here. And are you going to be doing any more commentating on some King of the Cage shows up here in Canada?
I don't know what's going on. I don't check my emails lately. Not that much. They're way too busy. But I hear that King of the Cage, Keith Crawford, stepped out or something. I don't know the whole story yet, because I don't want to get into it. But listen, anything to work with Mauro Ranallo together, I'll take. I mean, that guy, a lot of people, they always say, oh, he's a dork, or he's this, or that. That guy is the funniest guy you'll ever meet. I'm telling you, if we had breakfast in Japan, we have Mauro and I sitting at one table, in about 1 hour, we have 12 people at the table. All the tables get pushed to our table. Everybody wants to sit at the table. They want to hear what Mauro has to say.
Right.
He's cracking jokes the whole time. You know, Bright wants him to be very serious on air, and he cannot be joked. If he wants to make a joke, he cannot make a joke. Listen, he knows, sometimes he knows moves before I see it, and he's saying it to me, but he's not allowed to say it because he's a play-by-play guy. Mm. So a lot of people, they have totally the wrong impression from him. They think, oh, this guy doesn't know anything about it. Let me tell you, this guy knows a lot, and I mean a lot about mixed martial arts. His brain is unbelievable. He's like the guy from Beautiful Mind. He remembers everything. You can ask him any question about anything. You say, oh, about pro wrestling, about mixed martial arts, he will give you even the father's and mother's name, and he probably knows how old they are and when they were born. It's crazy. It's like everybody goes, this guy's an encyclopedia. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, fellow Canadian, I may add.
There you go, eh?
That's right. Well,
you know, boss, I'd like to thank you before we go, and I have to say that we all have to admire the Huevos on El Guapo as well, and having the bravery to come back out of retirement and letting a lot of us who or a lot of people who had never seen you fight at least one more time, hopefully more, and we appreciate the opportunity, and we appreciate your generosity and your bravery in coming out of retirement and showing us what you've got, and because you've got a lot to show.
Perfect, man. Thank you so much. That's a huge compliment.
Okay, thanks, boss.
Okay, guys, you take care.
Have you subscribed to Full Contact Fighter? FCF is the undefeated, no-holds-barred news source of the world, and no avid MMA fan should ever miss an issue. For years now, FCF has been providing MMA enthusiasts in-depth coverage of the world's greatest sport. Each issue contains event reports and photos from across the globe, including coverage from Japan, Brazil, Britain, Canada, and the United States. From fighter bios, technical advice, to training tips, FCF is the only publication that brings you all the MMA coverage you need every month, 12 times a year. Check out www.fcfighter.com for subscription information or call 516-676-0033. Full Contact Fighter, the undefeated, no-holds-barred news source of the world.
You're listening to the Full Contact Fighter Radio Network. And now, from his upscale 300-square-foot igloo in the trendy Icefield district of Vancouver, British Columbia, he knows what he's talking about. Here's your host, Kelsey Mowat.
All right, welcome back to Full Contact Fighter Radio. And joining us now from La Belle Province is Stéphane Patry. Stéphane, TKO president. How are you doing today, Stéphane?
I'm doing very good. It's a sunny day in Montreal. We announced some pretty huge news today here locally in Montreal about our next show, so it's a great day.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I wasn't sure if we'd be able to get any info. I was looking on the TKO website, and it mentioned that you had some huge news coming up. So if you can, fill us in on what the big news is.
We're going to be doing our next show on September 29th in Montreal. And it's going to be at the Bell Centre, which is like the most prestigious venue in Canada. You know, that's where the Montreal Canadiens play NHL hockey. And we signed a long-term deal with the Bell Centre that will allow us to do events of a magnitude never did before.
Wow.
Those who were impressed with our show number 12 when we had Fulmer and Dwayne Ludwig are going to be astonished at what's coming up for the next couple of years.
Wow, that's fantastic news, Stéphane. Congratulations.
It's a deal we've been working on for a while, and I think the explosion of the sport of mixed martial arts throughout North America in the past year helped us a lot in finally securing that deal.
So, Stéphane, there were rumors over the past couple months that the UFC was looking to do a show either in Quebec or Alberta, and the rumors also indicated that maybe it was going to be the championship fight of George St. Pierre and Matt Hughes. Whatever happened to those plans, and can you clarify them a bit for us?
Well, there's been discussions with the Bell Center about bringing the UFC to Montreal, actually doing UFC 63, Matt Hughes and George here in Montreal. At the beginning, there was a little bit of a problem with the date because of the Montreal Canadiens. But at the end, you know, my opinion is, once George has the belt and the UFC does a big media blitz in Canada afterwards, that's when. I think the best moment, the best time for them to do a fight in Montreal would be for George's first title defense. Because the thing with Montreal, you have to realize, this town, it's all about media. If media talk about it, then you're going to have a good crowd. I have examples of that. When I did my show number 6 and show number 7, I signed pro boxer Stefan Ouellet. The media were talking about the show every day, and we got 7,000 people. So, you know, it's all about media, and there's a big problem with the media community here in Montreal. They don't really like to talk about mixed martial arts because for them to see two guys or two athletes hit each other on the ground, they just don't understand that. And the UFC is in a position right now where, being in Vegas, they can call all the top reporters from Montreal and invite them in Vegas or in Anaheim, pay them a flight, a hotel room, and sit them there in the arena and explain to them what mixed martial art really is. And for them to see a fight with George St. Pierre get acclaimed by 20,000 people in Anaheim, maybe that's going to wake them up, right? So I think the best strategy for UFC is to bring some local, some mainstream media from Montreal or from Canada to the event, and then after that, use those media to promote Montreal. That way, they'll be able to get 10, 12,000 people.
And maybe some media from Edmonton and Vancouver, maybe one flight each.
Exactly. Whoever are the top media in Canada, I mean, but the real challenge for our sport right now is not really the mixed market of media. It's get those mainstream people, you know, those Rogers, Sportsnet, ESPN, ESPN, all these people to cover the sport. And once we have that, I mean, these guys, in my opinion, will need specialized media to talk about the sport, and that's where they're going to hire guys like you, you know, to cover the sport for them.
I'm looking to jump ship on Kelsey any day now, so I would appreciate any offers from PSN or ESPN, if anyone's listening.
Now, you mentioned George St. Pierre, and of course you manage George St. Pierre, who's gone on to tremendous success in the UFC. Stefan, what is it like for George in Montreal and in Quebec? Do you find, is he getting more coverage? I know there was a series, I think an Associated Press story that was run on George St. Pierre up before his last fight against BJ Penn, and there is some awareness spreading, and I know he was talked about on a story by Evan Solomon on CBC. But are the Quebec media and fans beginning to embrace George in Quebec?
In the past 6 months, we brought George to a lot of TV shows. We got him on a lot of radio shows, TV interviews. He did the cover of the Gazette, which is one of the main English media, newspaper here in Montreal. He made the cover page. We did a few things like that, but, obviously a lot of people know who George is. He's a star here, but it's different than it is in Vegas. Like in Vegas, we can't hardly walk with George on the street because he gets harassed by people. People cross the street running at him, you know.
Yeah.
Like a rock star in Vegas. It's not the same thing, right? Here he's, it's George St. Pierre. Over there it's, oh my God, here's the Rolling Stones, you know.
Yeah.
It's two different mentalities, you know. Here he's a star, over there he's like a superstar.
Stefan, I have a question for you, a follow-up question concerning George St. Pierre as well. First of all, how are you going to get Americans to stop calling him Pierre as a short form of his last name, number one? And my second question is a more serious question, and that is, you are a promoter of TKO, but you're also a fight manager, and in the birth of MMA, there are a lot of people like that, and still a lot of very powerful people like that. Do you ever see a time when those two roles are going to become a conflict of interest, and you'll either have to choose one or the other?
I'll start with the first question. It's easier. I hear people calling him Pierre, but, you know, it's like even in the UFC, everybody in the UFC just was calling him Pierre at a certain point. But now they call him St. Pierre because I kept repeating, no, it's St. Pierre. But I guess it's going to be the same thing, but on a longer scheme of things for the fans, you know. But you know what? Regardless, they call him Pierre, St. Pierre, Ross, George. He's still going to beat Matthews on December 23rd and come back to Canada as a belt. And for your second question, you know what? It's the way you manage your stuff. It's the way you work with people. I think, obviously, if not done properly, it could become a huge conflict of interest. But if I manage my things properly, I don't think it will be a conflict of interest. Because, you know, in the past few shows, I still own TKO. I still run the TKO shows. But, you know, more and more of these events are promoted by me and other people that work for me. So I take a lot less space than I used to here at the events, right? So, you know, I think down the road what's going to happen is there's going to be more and more people involved with TKO as far as employee goes. And I'll be there as the man who started it or who makes them the main decision, but I'll probably let other people take care of matchmaking and stuff like that just to avoid a certain situation.
Now, in kind of a segue on that exact same point, I mean, you've got so many representatives from TKO fighting in the UFC now on a regular basis, and some of your champions fighting on a regular basis.
Yeah.
How do you go about juggling their title defenses? You know, like, when we talked to Mark Hominick recently, he said he was going to have a rematch with Hioki. That's coming up in the TKO. But you've got guys like George St. Pierre and Sam Stout who are going to have to defend their title in the TKO. Is that tough, juggling that with the UFC? Is the UFC understanding the fact that these guys have to defend their titles back here in Canada?
That's my biggest problem right now. Not as far as UFC goes, but as far as the athlete goes. Because I have a very, very, as everybody knows, I have a very, very good relationship with the UFC. And I'm probably the only promoter out there that you know, has guys fighting in the UFC that still fight on my show, right?
Yeah.
That's still, I mean, guys that are winning the UFC but are still fighting on other shows, which is mine. Obviously, I couldn't send George to fight in King of the Cage or in K1 because that would be a problem. But for them fighting TKO, that's part of the deal we have, right? But the biggest problem is, you know, like George hasn't fought in a couple of months. He could have easily done a fight here in Montreal. In the meantime, while Hughes was fighting Gracie, but it's, you know, he's in the title picture. Why risk, you know, because anything can happen in a fight. You can get caught and lose a fight. You can do a mistake and lose a fight. Not that I think somebody can beat George right now, but, you know, it's a fight game. Anything can happen. And same with David Wazzo. He was in a title position with Rich Franklin, so he was in no position to come here and fight and risk his position in the UFC. So I was put in a position where Wazzo was fighting was going to fight for a title. George is in the title picture. Sam Stout was in the title picture because the deal with UFC was the winner of Florian Stout was going to fight for a title. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so all my top guys, my champions, were all of a sudden all in the title position where, you know, it was just ridiculous for me as a manager to let them, you know, fight here in my promotion. So that's why we put so much energy on building, you know, the talent. I mean, guys like Chris Orodecki right now, I mean, we put tickets on sale for the Bell Center show, and I would say 40% of the call we receive are people asking, is Orodecki fighting?
Yeah.
You know, he's become a huge star here, and he's only 18 years old. So it's very important for us. I mean, I'm very fortunate that we had guys like Orodecki, like Samuel Guillet, guys like Frank Vigneault, Sam Stout. I mean, we're fortunate to have those guys in our ring while George, Patrick, and David are busy in the UFC. So I think we've done a pretty good, how should I say that, putting up process with these guys, you know, so that we have stars for tomorrow at the same time.
Stefan, you mentioned David Wazzo, and you were his manager leading up to his title shot, and there was a tremendous amount of controversy that came out afterwards about the week leading up to his title shot. Do you care to comment on that, or now is that water under the bridge, and what is your relationship with David now, and do you still have unresolved issues with him?
No, me and David are still very good friends. We actually went out together last week. We're very, very good friends. I mean, we started in the sport together, and David is like a brother to me. But Things happened leading into his fight with Chris Franklin. That, you know, I mean, I'm the type of person who's able to put personal things on one side and professional things on the other side. And there's a few things that happened on the professional side that it was just impossible for him to accept. And obviously, when it first happened, you know, it also hurts your personal relationship with someone. But after that, like you say, water go under the bridge, and you have to make a decision. Will you let the professional things that happen hurt your personal relationship with someone? And me and David just decided that, you know, we were very good friends, and our friendship was worth more than what happened on the professional side. And, you know, I mean, it's David took a decision at the time. I took a decision at the time, you know, and, you know, I took a decision from what he did, and it's okay, you know. I mean, he still trains with all the guys I manage. I still talk to him. We go out together, but, you know, you never know, and, you know, this is a crazy sport. This is a crazy business. Maybe in 2 years from now, you guys will see me and David work together again, but at this point right now, it would have been unfair for the other guys I manage for me to continue working with David.
Now, let's talk a little bit about some of the other fighters that you have, and obviously one who's starting to capture headlines, and I realize this is a sensitive topic as well, we can't get into specifics, but is Patrick Côté, and I know, again, that you can't get into specifics about his performance on the Tough, the Ultimate Fighter Season 4,
yep.
But just in general, you know, I think we can get away with saying this much, even because his performance before Ultimate Fighter Season 4, Patrick seemed to have really turned his career around. What would you attribute that to, both as far as his skills in the ring and out of the ring?
You know what? The thing with Patrick is he got in the UFC very fast, and he got unlucky in some fights, you know, because Patrick is such a good fighter. I mean, even George and David back then, they were saying, oh, my God, if I had the mental toughness of Patrick Côté, I would love to have his mental toughness. This guy, in my opinion, and I've been around people in the fight game from guys fighting here in Quebec to all over Canada to all over North America and actually all over the world, and there's nobody that has the mental toughness of Patrick Côté. The way he prepares for his fights mentally, it's like, it's just insane. I mean, he's something else. And he's a very, very good striker who was very one-dimensional. I mean, Patrick had a very good punch, and then after that, you know, if he would be put in a difficult position, he would get out of it due to toughness, not due to technique, not due to talent, really toughness. So he was pretty much a diamond in the rough. So after he fought Tito, he dropped Tito, and, you know, lack of experience, he didn't follow up and lost the fight. But, I mean, name me five guys that got ground and pounded by Tito for three rounds that went to this decision. There's not too many guys, you know.
Yeah.
He survived Tito Ortiz on the ground for three rounds, so that shows you how tough he is. And then after that, he fought Joe Dorsen in one of the best fights of last year. I mean, it was a very, very good fight, very close fight. I had, you know, coming to the end of the third round, I had Patrick winning the fight, but then he did the mistake and got choked. But he knocked out Dorsen in that fight, you know. If he would have had the technique he has today or the experience he has today, he would have won that fight too. And then against Chris Lieben, I mean, I don't know what how you judge that fight, but it was very close, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It could have gone either way. I think if the fight happens in Canada, Patrick wins the fight, you know. It was very close. So, and then he went back to the drawing board, started working on his wrestling a lot. I think wrestling is a very important part of your game when you're a striker, because if you're able to, you know, to prevent the other guy from taking you down, you know, it's like you're going to be able to stay up and knock people out. And then when he fought Jason McDonald in Edmonton, he beat McDonald at his own game, which is the submission game, the ground game, and he won by rear naked choke. So Patrick showed so much improvement in the last year. I would say, in my opinion, he's the most improved fighter out there in the last year.
Kelsey and I were both at that fight in Edmonton, and we both agreed that it was one of the best fights we'd seen last year, and it was very exciting, and we were impressed especially by Patrick's by Patrick's groundwork, which was phenomenal, and it was really.
In the fight in Edmonton?
Yeah, it was a really great fight to watch.
I almost had an heart attack. I was working his corner, and in the third round, I mean, Jason got him in a rear naked choke for the whole round.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Patrick never gave up, and I almost had an heart attack in the corner.
Last guy I want to mention, and I don't know if this has been confirmed or not. It could be a rumor that I read on a forum, but is Jonathan Goulet scheduled to fight Josh Koscheck at Ultimate Fight Night 6 in August?
Yeah, he's fighting Koscheck at Ultimate Fight Night on August 17th.
Wonderful.
And has he signed another 3-fight deal with the UFC? Is that true?
Yeah, we signed him a new 3-fight deal with the UFC, and fight number one is against Koscheck.
Well, I think his performance against Luke Comeau was impressed a lot of people. Were you in Vegas? Were you down there for that fight, Stefan? Or
which fight?
His last fight against Luke Comeau.
No, you know what? I wasn't there because it was on June 28th, and I had my show June 30th.
Right.
So I had other people take care of him over there. But I watched the fight. I think, you know, Jonathan is a very good athlete. You know, he reminds me a lot of George, the way he fights, of George St. Pierre. The thing with Jonathan is, you know, he got knocked out a couple of times in his career. Like 3 or 4 years ago, he got like 3 knockouts in the same year. Then afterwards, you know, he went like undefeated for like 11 fights or 10 fights.
Yeah.
Then he got knocked out by Bang Ludwig. And when the fight started against Luke Comeau, we saw in Jonathan's face that he was still nervous about that knockout, and he didn't look sharp at all on his stand-up. But that's, you know what, that's going to come back, you know. I mean, he's such a great athlete. He's a good stand-up fighter, and he just didn't show it against Comeau. And again, he got tagged, you know, almost got knocked out. But to me, the chin thing is more of a confidence thing than anything else. And for some reason, when the octagon doors closed against Comeau, he just all the nightmares of Ludwig came back, and that's why he didn't look as sharp at the beginning. But you know what? Once he was able to take Comeau down to the ground, and he just went to work and you know showed his superior skills. But against Koscheck, it's going to be a very interesting fight because he won't be able to manhandle physically or grappling-wise, Koscheck like he did with Comeau, so it's going to be very interesting.
Brandon, do you have anything else?
I was just going to say, Stefan, with the fight you've just announced for the next Ultimate Fight Night, I believe Chris Lieben is also fighting, and Kara the Heat Parisian,
Diego Sanchez.
Diego Sanchez. Why would we ever buy pay-per-views again?
What was that?
Why would we ever buy pay-per-views again? they're giving away all the good stuff for free.
That's a good question for Dana.
Yeah. I guess last question for you, Stefan, and then we'll let you get out of here. So is there any announcement as far as the fight card is concerned for your show in September at the Bell Center?
We have a very good fight card on the 29th. Obviously, being our first show at the Bell Center, we want to make a big splash over there. And we have some very, very exciting fights. Mark Omnik will defend his world super lightweight title. He will fight for the title against Yuki. Sorry, I'm so used to Mark being the champion.
Yeah.
Big mistake here. So that's who Yuki's going to defend his title against Mark. Obviously, Mark, being the champion for like all those years, had a rematch clause in his contract, and he decided to go ahead and fight Yuki right away. So Yuki Omnik for the World Featherweight Championship. Then Sam Stout will defend his World Lightweight Championship against an opponent that we will announce on August 9th. We have to wait till August 9th because his potential opponent is fighting in K1 on August 8th, and we have to wait and see what's going to happen there, you know, just make sure the guy doesn't get suspended. Then Ichō will also defend his title against Krzysztof Kuzynski.
Oh, wow.
I know it's been a dream of Krzysztof for a while to fight for a title, and he'll get the chance. I mean, I was very pleased with Krzysztof's performance at my last show against Jan Pellerin. Not too many people gave him a chance against Perrin, and you know what, he won in a minute and a half by Kimura, and I mean, he's been training so hard with Bas Rutten in the last 6 months. The Szczesinski that I've seen at my last show is like the best Szczesinski ever. I think he's very improved. Also, we're going to have Chris Clement fighting Steve Vigneault in a fight that's guaranteed to blow the roof off the Bell Center. I mean, two big, big strikers. We're going to have Ivan Menchivar that's going to fight on the card, too. We will also announce his opponent a bit later because it's a P1 tournament. Stéphane Dubé, fresh off his knockout victory of Greg Compton, will fight James Martinez of Albuquerque, New Mexico. What else do I have on the card? Martin Vizile will fight a big name, but I can't name the fighter because he's fighting this weekend, July 22nd, in WFA.
Oh, okay.
So we'll wait and see what's going to happen with his fight, and then he's going to be fighting Martin, if everything goes well, on September 29th.
Well, that sounds like a very... It sounds like a very exciting card, and I know I have one last quick question for you. And it seems like you've captured the essence of MMA on television, and that's not stacking your cards with heavyweights or super heavyweights. Do you believe the future of MMA is watching the lighter fighters?
Personally, I like watching the lighter fighters. I think it's faster, it's more exciting. Nothing against the heavier guys, but I mean, I just think the sport of mixed martial arts is just the way the sport is made, the way, you know, everything that you can do in MMA. I think it suits better, you know, to have action-packed fights. I think welterweights and lightweights are the most exciting weight class right now.
Well, that card does sound just stacked, and it will be... so exciting to see, and hopefully all these guys, some of these people that you haven't been able to confirm yet, hopefully they come away with from their fights injury free so that they can fight.
It's just a question. I mean, these guys are under contract. We just want to make sure they don't get hurt before we announce the fight, right? There's also Tyler Jackson fighting on the card from Vancouver.
Right, yeah.
He's fighting Donald Wimet, so that's going to be another pretty good fight. Mm-hmm. The all card is so stacked. I mean, J.F. Strada of Chicago is fighting Steve Clavo. I'm really excited with that fight card, and it's going to be another big news. You're going to have the scoop. We're going to wait till Thursday to announce it, but we're building an octagon cage, and the fight will be an octagon cage. It's going to be ready in 2 weeks, and we're doing a big press conference in Montreal.
Well, Stefan, we appreciate you coming on and giving us all this big news, and best of luck as the date gets closer for the upcoming TKO.
No problem. Looking forward to see you guys over here for the first time.
Yeah, well, if certain people upstairs are listening, we'll see what we can do.
Thank you very much, Stefan.
Okay, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mixed martial arts legends collide at the Midwestern debut of the International Fight League, Saturday, September 23rd at the Mark of the Quad Cities in Moline, Illinois. See the wildest International Fight League team competition yet as the Quad City Silverbacks defend their home turf against the New York Pit Bulls. And be there to witness the return of hometown hero Pat Milicic as he squares off in a fight to the finish against jiu-jitsu master Enzo Gracie. 11 total fights, including Quad City taking on New York and the Columbus Razor Club, led by Mark Coleman, battling the Toronto Dragons, coached by Carlos Newton. Plus, the historic supermatch of Milicic versus Gracie. It all happens Saturday, September 23rd at the Mark of the Quad Cities in Moline, Illinois. Tickets start at $28.50 and are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Or charge by phone at 563-326-1111. That's 563-326-1111. The International Fight League. Pure sport. For more information, go to IFL.TV.
Hey, it's Mark the Machine Homnick, and you're listening to Full Contact Fighter Radio with Kelsey Mullen.
Well, thank you very much to both our guests, Bossard and Stefan Petri, for coming on and doing the show. And Brendan, yeah, that's some interesting comments from both those gentlemen.
Yeah, I think it will be very good to see Boss back again. Actually, I just downloaded a highlight reel of his. A lot of it was from the Pancras days, and it was hilarious to watch those guys. I remember renting an event one time. It was the first time that Pancras was on TV in North America. And yeah, you know, they had some fancy tight pants and these crazy, I don't know what you would call them, shin flares. They kind of look like sort of modern-day rubberized gladiator armor.
So yeah, like shin guards some guys wear. I mean, nowadays they're kind of trimmed down more, but yeah, you wear them for sparring, essentially.
And it was great to see Bass with some unbelievably vicious knockouts and beatdowns on people that you've never seen that kind of footage before. So it was it's very clear that Bass could deal out some significant pain in his day, and perhaps people take the friendly, happy-go-lucky Bass a little lightly.
Yeah, you know, I'm very interested. I wish I still don't know, and I haven't heard if we're going to be actually able to see the WFA pay-per-view. So, well, I guess we'll find out here in a couple of days, but definitely it should be an interesting card. And then Stefan Petrie coming on and you know, giving us a bit of a scoop, I guess, with a big announcement about the next TKO, September 29th, going to be in the Bell Center in Montreal. And that's huge, man. I mean, that's huge news for TKO. And it'll be interesting to see how many fans they draw.
Well, the Bell Center is especially big news, and maybe the American fans won't appreciate this, but it's like, you know, what kind of event are you going to hold in your church? It's sort of like the Cathedral of Montreal, so I'm not sure that they wouldn't allow any Tom, Dick, or Harry or, you know, or the defiling circus to enter the sacred halls of the Bell Center where their beloved inhabitants play. So we'll see. It sounds like it's going to be a fantastic show, and Kelsey, I'll be expecting my plane tickets in the mail very shortly. I prefer to fly, actually, first class.
Yeah, well, I'll make sure that you're set up in a five-star hotel. Do you want a limo? Like, what kind of limo do you want to pick you up?
I'd prefer to stay right down on St. Catherine Street, actually, and I can say this with confidence because my wife doesn't listen to the show, but there are several interesting drinking establishments down there.
Oh, yes.
Should definitely partake in.
Do you want an SUV limo or just a regular limo to pick you up at the airport?
One of those... What do they call them? The humming V limo or something like
that. Yeah, that'd be sweet.
You know, yeah, I figure you know, as greasy and douchebaggy as we can look, we should just try and play the role, and it'll be your first night for your eye patch.
Yeah. I'll get that custom made. I've got a couple months to get that some seamstress to start working on a tailor.
Get some bling. Get some bling sewn in there as well.
You know. This week, Brennan, first, and this I'm pretty stoked about, first ever Full Contact Fighter mailbag session, if you will. Full
contact mailbag session? We have a mailbox?
Yeah, I've received some feedbacks on some threads that I've started trying to, you know, plug this show, and I appreciate everybody who's responded on those threads. And then we also do have, for those people who listen and ever listen to my commercials, you can send feedback and suggestions to the show at radio@fcfighter.com. And, we actually got a couple here, and I'll just go through a couple here. And
apparently I'm not privy to these emails, so don't email me there.
Yeah, you're the silent partner in all this. Atticus from, I don't know where, he didn't mention where he's from, but... He writes in and says, "Hey, I just found out that you guys have a radio show. I'm enjoying the latest episode now, but I'm writing to suggest that you list the show on the iTunes directory. I think most people would appreciate that. It's much more convenient for the average listener to access it that way, as it is automatically updated and easier to transfer to an iPod. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Atticus." Well, thank you, Atticus. And yeah, we are going to be working on getting the show up on iTunes. We've begun that process. We've also been working on our website as well. And I know some people on the threads that I mentioned were asking me about if we could post the site at the top of the news section page. And the show will have its own banner. So we're working on it.
Keep looking. Nothing good on the internet is easily found.
Exactly.
Hint, hint.
And then this one I was pretty stoked about, Sunny from Hawaii, Brendan. Sunny from Hawaii says, "Aloha, my name is Sunny. I just wanted to let you guys know that you have people in Hawaii that are listening and are waiting for your next show. Granted, we have Sure Dog and God Bless Ryan Bennett at MMA Weekly, but as for me, a diehard MMA fan, I crave more MMA news and hoping you guys pick up where so many of us are hoping and waiting. Looking very forward to many more shows. Good luck, guys. You got my support." Well, that's about it. Aloha from the Aloha State. Oh, by the way, BJ Penn won that fight, and you guys know it. And I'm wondering, I'm trying to remember, I think if it was our second or third show, maybe, we were talking about, or maybe it was after the Ultimate Fight Night. I can't remember which episode, but what he's referring to is Brendan and I were discussing the merits and of some of the judges' decisions. I think it was when we were discussing Dalby Shirley calling the Stephen Bonner fight a draw, and we were talking about George St. Pierre's fight against BJ Penn.
Yeah, I think I said I would have been happy with that having been declared a draw. But no one's ever said aloha to me before. You, Kelsey?
Yeah, no, that's the first time, and I was, like I said, I was pretty impressed and stoked to see that Hawaii is listening in to a couple Canadians talking about MMA.
They're very nice. They're very nice people there in Hawaii.
Yes, maybe we can get Dog the Bounty Hunter into the show.
No. No, I think that would be the lowest possible thing we could ever do.
Yeah, that'd be bad. Another thing I wanted to mention, too, and we talked about this in passing with Jason McDonald, the fact that this weekend, July 22nd, is Extreme Cage Combat 3, and I believe it's going to be in Halifax again. And, you know, the fact that Jason's opponent has been announced, and I believe it's someone from the States now.
Yeah, Jason McDonald's fighting Fritz Paul, who I looked up his record, and is pretty good, decent record. So, you know, I'm impressed at the show. They've got Roger Hollett fighting Marcus Hicks, who's, they've got some local guys, and Roger Hollett's one of them. And, you know, I always think that the promoters who try to bring in some out-of-town talent and then also promote some in-town fighters is always a good way to promote a show.
You know, there's very few smaller shows that you can go to these days and really say, yeah, well, we saw some subpar fighting. You know, MMA, all sorts of MMA shows now are really, you really get great bang for your buck. And, you know, you and I have seen some smaller shows as well that have been just phenomenal undercards of people who we never heard of before, but they're just really interesting to watch. And I think that's the great thing about MMA, that the corner that it's turned is that there's a lot of fighters out there who can put on really entertaining shows and demonstrate a lot of unique and exciting skills. It's a good time to be able to watch. You know, it's a good time to be able to go to small shows.
Yeah, and Victor Valimaki, who beat Dan Severn at MFC last year, and he's coming off a win over Craig Sloan at the last ECC. He's from Edmonton. He's fighting Shane Lytle, who's had some experience against some pretty big-name guys, including Bill Mahood. And also Jason Day, who's a light heavyweight out of Lethbridge, and he started to turn some heads. He's won a few fights in a row. He's fighting Chris Peake, who is a well-known veteran MMA fighter from Vancouver Island. So, yeah, I wanted to mention that the fact that ECC is doing another show, and they've done three shows now. This will be their third show in only about 2 months or 3 months, so that's very impressive.
Well, that's great. When those folks in the Maritimes are off the boats, they got to do something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Brendan, I'll let you get out of here. I know we both have other bills to pay and other deeds to perform. So I'll let you get out of here, and we'll talk later this week.
Good luck to you, Kelsey.
Thanks.
I look forward to listening to listening again to our El Guapo interview. It's just that good.
Exactly, I agree. Okay, man.
Bye bye.